Well, hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Pulse Podcast Season 2. I'm your host, Dr. Maida Afan. I'm super excited to dive into conversation with our guest today. But just before that, a quick reminder to subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow our LinkedIn page. Today we have with us Josh Pappas. He's the Director of Sales at Tendo, and he's passionate about remote patient monitoring and the importance of patient engagement and experience, something that I'm very passionate about. Welcome to the podcast, Josh.
Thank you so much for having me on. I'm very excited to dig into one of my favorite topics. I always tell people when the topic of remote patient monitoring comes that me and some other ones, I kind of stumbled upon remote monitoring before it was cool, so to speak, right? Right in that moment where RPM codes were coming out, there's a lot of unsure what is going on, you know, then kind of COVID changed and everything else is history. But it's been really cool to see the transformation in kind of a short amount of time. So thanks for having me on and excited to dig in.
No, an absolute pleasure. And I started my career in digital health as well, way before it was mainstream, with a telemedicine company. And so the concept, even though telemedicine is not a new concept, but using digital platforms to communicate or to connect patients and providers, it still was. But it's really exciting to see how far we've come. And I think COVID just sort of accelerated that. Keeping that in mind, you know, I'm, again, very passionate. I think there's a huge gap in the patient engagement sort of area as well. And I'm also passionate about leveraging technology to better communicate, engage, and reach patients, because that's, you know, you have to meet the patients where they are. And so because you're heavily involved with patient experience, I wanted to ask you, what are some of the more poignant benefits of patient engagement? Where do you think that fits in the patient-provider relationship?
Yeah, no, I think it's, admittedly, it's so interesting how you can be, did remote monitoring for, you know, around 6 to 8 years. And I'll touch on, you know, that side of the patient engagement, but it's been super interesting just to see even kind of stepping into digital health, but a little bit outside the lane of remote monitoring, just how much work has gone on and how things have evolved from a consumer driven perspective on patient engagement. I think specific to RPM, you know, one of the unique, portions of it is it doesn't take much to engage the patient. I think that there's the belief with RPM that it has to be, you know, fancy. And, you know, if you go to Health or Vive or all these different conferences, there's, you know, this fancy wearable for, you know, this small condition. But, you know, in my experience, all it took was a single blood pressure. And now you're really unlocking some of the abilities from an RPM perspective to engage the patient. But I do think that the keys for me and sort of what I've seen from a personalization perspective is being able to personalize it, and that's hard, but also being able to make it configure, right? So having the IT infrastructure on the back end to understand the customer. Some people call it a CRM, but I don't think it's necessarily even that sophisticated. It's just, you know, when does Mrs. Smith want to be contact? Is that, believe it or not, home phone, cell phone, or is it just, you know, giving them a blood pressure cuff and that being the means to feel connected to the doctor, right? And so I think that there's a tendency to potentially overcomplicate it. It's certainly not easy, but I've been impressed at how starting with a low tech approach, but then meeting patients where they are at the high tech, I think is has proven to be successful.
No, absolutely. And is that something that you do at Tendo? Tell us a little bit about Tendo.
Yeah, so I'm excited. So I lead kind of what's called early health system partnerships at Tendo, right? And so Tendo was founded really a couple of years old. We're a Series B startup, founded by actually a brother and sister, believe it or not, Dan and Jen Goldsmith, kind of serial entrepreneurs. But really, you know, they had a lot of success building vertical SaaS companies, Veeva and the life science platform, Instructure, Canvas, more on the ed tech side of things. And really, Tendo was born out of a couple of unique things. One was a listening tour, right? Instead of going in and certain solutions being like, we know what patients want, right? What they did was they spent a year, the whole founding team, listening to patients, listening to clinicians, caregivers on what was really needed, where were some of the voids with the current landscape of health tech. And so I appreciated that. It was one of the reasons why I joined. But more than that, I think that they've, the majority of our team right now, 90%+ are amazing software technology, and then infused with some healthcare leadership from the Epics of the world or the health system side. And so really what we're building is, a platform approach to the entire patient, kind of creating a seamless patient care journey, and then also being able to do some really cool things with software and analytics. So kind of infusing two things that usually was siloed, right? The patient experience, the patient journey was on one side of things, and whether it was my chart or things like that. But then also too, you had this wealth of data that wasn't be tapping into, and you have some data aggregators. So really, I think the main goal is to really kind of create that single view, single plane view, and infuse some of the analytics along with the patient care journey. And it's been really excited. We've done some foundational work with a couple health systems. Instead of going out and having a widget, we've really been targeted and focused. And so I'm excited to come out of stealth mode and help us in the next couple of years collaborate with health systems.
Sounds very exciting. And you've touched upon a lot of important points. I'm going to get to the data and analytics in a bit. But when you're speaking about the patient journey, I understand how patient engagement is important within the confines of a clinical setting. But I think now with remote patient monitoring, it's just so much more important after the patient leaves the clinical setting, right? So when they go back home. And after going back home, it's not like their patient experience or the patient or their journey as a patient ends, right? Because there's medication adherence, maybe they have new questions, maybe they want some reassurance regarding the medical condition. And it's funny because I was talking to another podcast guest, and she pointed out this really interesting concept in which how sick individuals or how people going through chronic conditions, their emotional state really sort of impacts the way that they engage with information online or engage with their providers or just need that constant support throughout, right? And so what are your thoughts on that? How do you think remote patient monitoring is sort of changing the landscape for patients? Because now you mentioned the consumerization of healthcare and how the patient behavior is also evolving, right? They want to be in control. They want to have sort of like this constant relationship with their provider.
Yeah, no, I think all those are key. And the challenge is remote monitoring kind of gets the broad term, right? But within that, I always think about just, even back to the basics from a simplistic, from a wearable perspective, I kind of put it in three different buckets, in terms of how remote patient monitoring, just from like a device perspective. And, one of those is peripheral monitoring, right? Then continuous monitoring, and then you kind of have consumer grade, wearables and monitoring. So I put those in three different buckets, right? Because I think at the starting place, those are normally, the devices or the means to, launch the patient on that remote patient monitoring journey, right? I think the majority of the traditional remote monitoring is in that peripheral devices, right? Because it's kind of the starting blocks, like, a single blood pressure cuff, right? A blood pressure cuff or a weight scale. But one of the most powerful things is, within that peripheral monitoring, you have Bluetooth devices, which, have been around forever. But then you have, here recently, what's called cellular devices. So if you think about a blood pressure cuff, it's really able to engage the patient, particularly Medicare patient, and almost start their journey very seamless and easy, because the blood pressure cuff itself kind of transmits the data, right? So if you think about a patient going home, they take the blood pressure cuff, they put it on, they know how to do that, but the data transmits wirelessly directly to the remote monitoring. And so I think I've seen such a powerful, a lot of people want to have apps, they want to have maybe a tablet and do all this engagement, right? But what happens is the reverse happens. The patient's frustrated, Bluetooth doesn't work. And so it can be a hindrance of certain programs, right? I think that there are times where Bluetooth does make sense, but the cellular device I've seen, particularly if you think about some of these chronic conditions and hypertension patients and things like that, it can be a very easy way to make it seamless and frictionless for the patient. They don't need a smartphone or anything like that. They can, basically just have the device, but it really unlocks all the benefits from the remote patient management and things like that. And I think that's such a powerful tool. And once you kind of have the basics, and then for more, sicker patients, there's all sorts of patches and wearables and continuous monitoring. And I think that that's going to, as more, sicker patients come into these different programs, it's going to be important. And then you have, a lot of times we get the questions when I was on the RPM side, from health systems, is everybody and every doctor wanted a certain, specific device or condition. And so I do think that the ones that are going to be beneficial are device agnostic, meaning they can do that, but you also sometimes have to draw a line in the sand and say, are we doing medical grade, because there's a difference between medical grade wearables and consumer grade wearables, and they both might serve a purpose, right? But I think for some of these, you know, more programs, being able to say, okay, we might let in consumer grade wearables, but we have to be able to differentiate that with the continuous and some of the other, you know, medical grade wearables. So it's been fascinating, and I think that it's going to be interesting to see how that kind of plays out, you know, post COVID.
No, absolutely. And I think that's where sort of regulation and unregulated devices also come in. I mean, you have tons of health and wellness mobile apps as well that, you know, sort of measure health parameters and give you all these insights, but then they're not regulated. And so that sort of patient safety aspect comes in, the accuracy comes in, reliability comes in, trust issues come in. So I think there's still a lot that we have to figure out. I think we're making strides, but I think there's still a lot of work that can be done. And you mentioned, you know, these AI point of care devices, right? I just think it makes the experience more real as well. Like you mentioned, like a blood pressure cuff or like an oxygen saturation, and also like a thermometer, maybe. I think it just makes it so much more real for the patient. But, you know, in your experience at Tendo or just working on these platforms, what have been some of the more pressing challenges of implementing remote patient monitoring programs, either from like the software side or the patient side?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, I was a fortunate in my remote patient monitoring, call it, you know, career, right, is, you know, I got to spend some time, you know, as first sales hire with Optimize Health. And really, you know, that was a company that was focused and really helped out more of the provider practice group. So I think that the challenges there in some of those, you know, call it more traditional fee for service, helping, you know, providers, you know, not only roll these remote patient monitoring out, but then also too helping, you know, with the financial and clinical benefit side. But I think the challenge there is like the challenge with everybody else is they wanted to do it, but they just didn't have the staff to do it. And so I think really going into those clinics and being hands-on from a implementation perspective and, you know, going in and helping the nurses, because, you know, a lot of times there was no RPM coordinator, or the RPM coordinator was the MA or the RN that had to do everything else, you know, within the clinic. And so I think being able to offload some of those, and I know a lot of companies offer that kind of, you know, remote patient management as well. So I think that collaboration is going to be key. You know, there you have kind of three different people. You have the patient, the clinic, and then the RPM company. But I do think that there's been a lot of, you know, great progress on there, more on the health system side and some of my other, you know, some of my other work there. The biggest concern when people talk about challenges was, I think the thought there was data and privacy and all these different things. And not that that's not important, but typically that didn't necessarily hold up the challenges to successful kind of, you know, launch and scale of remote patient monitoring. I mean, you have to go through all the rigor there, but majority of companies do a great job on the security side. It was really honestly just to change management and also to making sure priorities aligned. You know, and so as the organization got bigger, it became challenging because although you had, you know, call it a larger patient pool, you were only able to sometimes, you know, tap into a service line or getting everybody on the same boat. And so I think that the change management portion, there's a lot of people that were passionate about doing it. I think it's just hard to roll that out. Education becomes key. And so I found those as being a little bit more challenge, and also to aligning the financial incentives, right? The RPM codes, you know, kind of came full circle. They were there, they incentivized people enough. But if you look at it, I remember I saw a stat, it's in some ways it's been great because there's been about a 1300 percentage increase in the RPM claims in 2022, based on some definitive healthcare data, is the largest amount of claims that have happened. So in some ways that's good. But in some ways, it's like it's still, you know, they ran a survey and only 25% of MGA, you know, so kind of the healthcare operations and executives said that they've invested in RPM or potentially are going to, right? So we certainly need, you know, that number to rise to kind of get to the scale that's needed from an RPM perspective.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. I love those insights. But I'm just wondering again, if when we talk about strategy, you know, we want all these remote patient monitoring solutions to sort of integrate with the clinical workflows. And I feel like you said at the beginning of our talk, that it was easier to engage patients. I think the reason for that is that a lot of patients are now familiar with online channels of engagement, but then also devices. I find that healthcare providers, a large proportion of them, particularly those belonging to the older physician cohort, might, you know, sort of push back, and they might be resistant to change because they're so used to doing things a certain way. I'm wondering if sort of you had that kind of, how receptive have they been? Have you had any sort of feedback on that?
Yeah, so I think one of the most unique experiences I had was, and I'm fortunate, is, you know, I got to work kind of hand in hand. You know, this was prior to COVID, but, you know, go into clinics, you know, meet with some of these, I would say, you know, in rural Southeast, right, North Carolina, Georgia, and meet with some of these, I would say, physicians that you would put in the bucket of maybe naysayers, right? But I was super impressed at, you know, especially the innovative ones, they kind of embraced it, right? You know, even within all the challenges, but also who embraced it were the patients themselves, right? And I think that you saw, I firsthand saw, you know, patients. I think one of the oldest patients that was on a program, you know, was 97, or, you know, one was like 102. So these patients had the ability to do it. I think the challenge is being able to you know, understand, you know, the top ones I saw was which patients can benefit from this. So patient selection, right? And so there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of getting the information wearable into the clinical workflow, but there's not necessarily a great way to, you know, streamline the patient selection. So I think that that's one of the areas that could certainly be doing that, and not just running a report that says, hey, hypertensive Medicare patient, it's, you know, this patient could benefit from, you know, a text-only approach or a cellular blood pressure cuff, or maybe they can be on a continuous monitor. So I think that some innovation in there is going to be good. I think number two, you talk about all these clinicians, it's how do we have, you know, standardized? I mean, I talk to health systems, believe it or not, and, you know, certain health systems, you know, through COVID, and some of this is they had to do it, and they did a great job from a response perspective, but they had, you know, somewhere upwards of, you know, 50 to, you know, to 80 different RPM vendors, you know, within their infrastructure, right? And some of that was just due to, it used to be, hey, cardiology department, go ahead and do something for remote monitoring, primary care. So in some ways it's good because I think that there is a thought of let's consolidate some of this. But in some ways that change management is hard. And then, you know, by the time you get an RPM program in place, who knows where the technology is accelerated, right? So I think you have to be a little bit forward thinking when you're choosing a vendor to be able to say, this is going to work now for what we need, but it also is very scalable. And so, you know, I put those two as, you know, some of the tough challenges. But in terms of, you know, change management, I think it's also too, it's thinking about this, you know, at scale and being able to help. You know, I think the holy grail of this is to have, you know, an RPM vendor or a program that can help out kind of a very sick, acute hospital at home level patient, but then also have the flexibility to take care of just, you know, an outpatient primary care, you know, basic hypertensive patient. And there's a lot in between in the sandwich, but I do think that there's some vendors out there that are kind of helping on that continuum and saying, hey, this isn't a one size fits all. This is going to help patients that are super sick and then be able to downgrade it there.
No, absolutely. I think that speaks to sort of the infrastructure, the existing infrastructure we have, right? Because I've seen like a lot of people and experts coming up and they're saying, well, you know what, we can't just implement a health tech solution or a platform on top of the existing. It's sort of like a band-aid approach. And so I think you're right. It has to be scalable, but then it also has to be interoperable. It also has to be safe. You have to keep all the red tape and the guardrails in mind as well. So, and again, this in and of itself involves stakeholder collaboration, right? And so when we're talking about like the healthcare ecosystem or the health tech ecosystem, we want all the collaborators to sort of work with each other. So, you know, different solutions can meet each other where it's necessary, just so we can sort of provide that seamless experience for the patient. Well, you know, when you said about patient selection, I also think an important factor is digital health literacy, because I guess older patients as well, they might have caregivers who are familiar with the technology, but then again, to build that trust and sort of to give them control of their own health, I think this is another gap that we can sort of work on as well. And something that, you know, because it's my background, and if you go to my LinkedIn profile, I said I'm on a mission to implement clinician-guided processes in health tech content and communications. It's because I'm so overwhelmed and frustrated because there's so much, we're living in an infodemic era, right? And so there's just so much misinformation. I think it's so important to leverage technology, not only for care delivery, but for communications as well and patient engagement is just, it's right in there. Before we go, I have another question on AI, right? So there's so much buzz on AI. There's, you know, it is the future. It's not really the future of healthcare. It has literally arrived. It helps in various segments of medicine, clinical decision support, diagnostics, and now even wearables and remote patient monitoring. Have you used, I mean, I know you mentioned AI point of care devices and everything, but where do you think this is taking us, say in the next 10 years?
Yeah, so if I had to put my prediction hat on, I do believe, going back to it just from a quick digital literacy perspective, is it's super important. I think that there is some really good work by companies and health systems to to not let, being in a rural, I've been a part of projects that were very rural Appalachia, there, and as well as the Midwest. But in terms of AI, I think it's really going to be, if you think about the biggest challenge with all of what we're talking about, is, now for the first time ever, there's going to be a significant influx of, wearable data outside the four walls of the hospital than inside the four walls of the hospital, right? And so, to me, I think one of the most impactful ways that AI can, can really impact remote monitoring is, how do we take all of these aggregate wearable data sets, and then how do we leverage AI to determine, who's the right patient, to get certain types of care? But then also too, how do we take all this data and truly determine when a patient is deteriorating from, call it their normal baseline, right? And so, I was impressed at, lots of companies kind of innovating in this space. But to me, that's key, is not only, to get step one, get the data in, but I think that what's going to happen is now as wearables are getting easier, you're going to have overnight just this massive influx in all of this data. So to me, AI is going to, almost help the clinician be able to spend more time doing what he or she does best, which is, communicating with the patient, treating the patient. But AI is going to be critical to not necessarily have 10,000 alarms in a day, because then if that's going to happen and triggers are firing off and you don't know, then RPM is going to be thrown into the trash can, right? Because clinicians aren't going to necessarily see the value. So I think if we can get that blend, I mean, it might be a moonshot. I think that there's a lot of people innovating on there, but being able to aggregate the AI to kind of, understand that personalization and the right patient to, to treat, the right patient to intervene, and then also to potentially, I think, the right intervention. I think that if that can happen, then I think AI and RPM has a really great chance of being super impactful.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your time, Josh. I thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. I hope we can do this again soon.
Yes, likewise. Thanks again for having me on.
All right. For everyone who's tuned in, until next time, thank you. Bye-bye.